have your way.
Father, we thank you, Lord, that you show us your ways. We have an example to follow in Jesus Christ. Lord, we thank you for everything that he has done, everything that will be manifested in our lives. Father, you are God of this city. You are the King of this nation. You are King of our hearts. Father, we surrender that to you. We give you now all the glory, all that honor that is yours. And Father, today I bless this tithe, this offering, Lord God. It is yours. You're the creator of the universe. Everything we have, to and including our breath, is yours. Lord, we give this to you as honor. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, you may be seated and super kids are dismissed. I've heard of falling downstairs, but never up. And I just about did. You know, we don't need to worry about what the devil thinks he's getting away with right now. Nobody's getting away with anything. The word promises what we do will have a repercussion. It's called seed time and harvest. We're living in days and times right now that uncharted for us. I mean, and we have people in here whose generations actually surpassed 3 and 4 wars. And this is still worse. Because now it's bold and it's brazen. I want to encourage you not to slip back into a complacency that says, what's the point? That I need to do something different. Paul said to stand. When you've done everything you can, he said, stand. It means you dig in with what you've got, what you know. God has never failed us, and he's not about to start. Earlier on this week, I had a song that came up. I don't even remember where I first heard it. How many remember the song, Do Lord? Do Lord, oh do remember me, right? I think I learned it somewhere in a kids class or something. But I, you know, I'm one of those guys that's had problems with lyrics. I mean, Blinded by the Light took me forever. There's a few others I've had problems with. I always knew Steppenwolf was talking about a bad moon on the rise, not a bathroom on the right. But this one, Do Lord, oh do Lord, there was an extra word I somehow always added, and I sang it with the added word. Do you remember me? And I remember thinking when I learned that song, that's stupid. We're asking God, do you remember me? When he knows every hair that we've ever had on our body. He knows every freckle that I have. And I was like, oh, something's not wrong with that. And then I was actually looking up a song. It was actually a song that Mylon LeFevre had written for Elvis Presley called Without Him. It's recorded on the How Great Thou Art album back in 1973. And one of the songs that came up when it was playing was "Do Lord, Do You Remember" or "Do Remember Me," and that's when I remember singing that. Do you remember me? Like God's forgetful. And I didn't think nothing about it. And then a couple of days later, I hear a song playing on my playlist, and it's about the thief on the cross with Jesus. And he said something. He said, "When you come into your kingdom, Lord, remember me." Okay, what's going on? And as I began to contemplate and, you know, just kind of mull that over, this is how God works sometimes, especially with me. He started bringing back all the times that I can remember, the word "remember" starting to show up. God remembering people. The first place we have is Genesis chapter 8, verse 1. Kind of fitting. We're going to start there, and this is the very first time that it says this. Then God remembered Noah. God didn't forget him. So the word "remember" is pretty much a bringing to thought or mind. Something triggered to thought or mind. You ever go by a smell? For me, gas wells. I remember every time we'd go to Cardington, because we didn't have any gas wells over where I lived, and we'd go by Cardington, you'd smell them gas wells. And it didn't trigger a memory of Cardington, it triggered the memory of West Virginia. So there's certain smells, there's even certain grasses that I smell that when they've been cut, it doesn't trigger a memory here, but it triggers a memory down south. I smell swamp gas, I think of Paris Island. I smell swamp, pine trees, and the ocean, I think of Camp Lejeune. Toxic water. but things will cause memories to happen. We're not talking about you walked into the room, into a room and forgot why you went in there kind of memory. I think we were talking about that with Missy this morning. I forgot. You know what happens for us most of the time? We got too much on our mind. We have so many things, because then it's exactly what she said. I was there and I thought, oh, I got to go do, and totally got off track. I'm like, okay, how many times have I done that? Where did I lay that down? I just had it come back and I laid it down right here where it was supposed to be. But we get too busy. God's not too busy. He doesn't really forget us. So the point being, why? We see God remembered Noah and every living thing and all the animals that were on the ark made with him. Yeah, you're not going to forget the only thing on planet Earth that has life, that's breathing oxygen. And God made a wind to pass over the earth and the waters subdued. So there, we've got that. God remembered Noah, the guy in about a 700-foot long boat bouncing around in the waters with one window, hundreds of animals, 8 people, possibly getting seasick. I know I did just doing that. But then we go to Genesis 19. And it came to pass when God destroyed the cities of the plain that God remembered Abraham. Why was God remembering Abraham? Because of a covenant that he had with Abram. And sent Lot out of the midst of the overthrow when he threw the cities in which Lot had dwelt. He's doing this, but he remembered him. A covenant is what triggered it. There was a point. Something caused him to remember that. And he didn't continue on. So God heard their groaning, and God remembered his covenant with Abraham, with Isaac, and with Jacob. 3 generations God made a covenant with the children of Israel. These are the patriarchs. Their taskmasters were now abusing them. The Egyptians had meticulously enslaved them. They didn't just go in and suddenly take over them. They had to be very meticulous about them. They lured them in. Let's go together on a joint project. Let's all do this. Let's start building these projects. And then over time, they began to withdraw. And only the Hebrews were left. And when that happened, they started beating them, mistreating them, keeping their wages. And that's when the real slavery began. because the prophecy was that they would be a stranger in a land that is not theirs for 400 years, not that they would be slaves for 400 years. So the time began when God told Abraham that. So now they're enslaved. Cruelty. All male children are being killed because they're afraid they will they'll rise up and take over. And their cries were cried out to God, and he remembered them. Like he didn't know what was going to happen. Come on. What really is it about? 1 Samuel 1:19. Then they rose early in the morning and worshiped before the Lord and returned and came to their house at Ramah. And Elkanah knew Hannah, his wife, and the Lord remembered her. For those of you who don't know, Hannah is the mother of the prophet Samuel. She cried out to God day and night for a son. She was barren, couldn't have no children. And she made a vow, Lord, if you will give me a son, I will give him back to you. And God remembered her. She was a faithful woman. He was a faithful man. They honored God. They loved God. She made a vow. God kept it. He gave her a son, and she dropped off that boy. You need to understand, he was probably about five. Think about it. You drop your boy off, your son, at 5 years old for somebody else. That's kind of rough. I didn't want to send mine to kindergarten. And knowing he was going to come home. Now, she could go see him, okay? It wasn't like she would never see him again. She wasn't sending him off to war. But still, this is her little boy who would grow up to be a mighty man of God. God honored her. She had, I think, at least three more sons and two daughters. Fivefold, God blessed her with more children. Why does he remember? Why does he let us go through things and then just suddenly remember? Lord, you could have stopped this. We could have done something maybe different with the flood. God knew it was all going to happen. He didn't just suddenly, if it had been a year, they'd been bouncing around in that boat. Oh, I forgot Noah. We're not talking about you forgot to take the trash out. We're talking about people's lives here. And when God was destroying Sodom and Gomorrah and all the cities on the plain, there were five other cities that were wiped out at the same time. God didn't say, oh, I forgot Lot. God remembered a covenant he had with Abraham. And Abraham, remember, Abraham's the dude that said, you know, Lord, maybe for 50 righteous people, you don't destroy them. How about go down 20? 10? Okay, Lord, my final offer, five. Five righteous people. That would have been Lot's family. Abraham knew what the cities were like. Keep in mind, only four actually left. And out of that, only three made it away. Because the one thing that Jesus did use the word for remember was, remember Lot's wife. So why? Why does God suddenly seem to remember us in the middle of a storm, in the middle of all the things, of our trials? It's not that he forgot us. Because when God got Noah off of that boat, he took him out and he set forth something new. He said, while the earth remains, seed time and harvest. See, ladies and gentlemen, every deed you do is a seed of righteousness or a seed of unrighteousness. Every word you speak is a word of righteousness or unrighteousness. Everything is a seed. If you're kind to somebody who doesn't deserve it, that's righteousness. So if I'm mean to somebody who deserves it, no, that's unrighteousness. See, everything that Noah did, Noah preached for 120 years. He preached to repent. There could have been more than 8 people on that boat. But the people chose their flesh. They chose what made them feel good. And when God shut the doors, do you understand? Noah didn't shut the door. God shut the door. He sealed it. And only God could open it. And when that ark came to rest and God opened it, he did something special. There's a little part of this I've kind of had missed. I'm going to look more into it. But he said there's a cloud with a rainbow in it. It wasn't just a rainbow. There was a cloud. He said, I want you to see that. Every time you see that, I want you to remember, I will never destroy the earth again with water. We're worried about tsunamis. Ladies and gentlemen, the word already says he will destroy it by fire. Those people could have repented, but they chose not to. But that didn't stop Noah from doing what he was supposed to do. And God remembered what Noah did for 120 years. Noah was considered a righteous man before the flood, before God decided to set this thing in motion. He was considered righteous. Abraham had a covenant with God, but that covenant had a contingency. Abraham, I want you to leave the land of your fathers, leave your family, and go to a land that I will take you to. And it'll be wherever your feet step, that land I will give to you. I'm here to tell you today, Israel does not have all the land that Abraham walked. They do not possess it. At one time they did, but they had to fight, partly because they broke part of the vow. They were supposed to eliminate everybody. But they left a few stragglers. They got comfortable. They didn't want to take on the Philistines. Do you know God was with them? But they didn't want to take on the Philistines. Today, the Philistines are the number one enemy that close to them. They're also called Palestine. Those of us that have been around for a minute or two remember an organization called the PLO, the Palestinian Liberation Organization. They were terrorists. They're Philistines. There was a vow set with every one of these, and there was a contingency. You obey, and I will bless. It's obedience to God's commands. What has God commanded? Not what the world commands, not what you think, not what some... I will not tell you what the Holy Spirit is telling me you should be doing. And there's a few of you in here, I know some things you're anointed to do, but you're being boneheaded. Because I'm not your Holy Spirit. I'm not your God. I want you to listen to the Holy Spirit. There's nothing greater or rewarding than to listen to what God is saying. And you step out in faith. And he meets you there. There's nothing greater. I mean, we got people that are seeking thrills by jumping off of buildings and rocks. I watched the videos. I think it's kind of thrilling. Then I watched the ones where they bounce off the rocks. Not so thrilling. But yet, the church is still seeking that thrill. We're basing it on whether or not we got the chill at church today. Do you understand the same peace that you can have here, you can have Monday morning when you go into work with all the Philistines? Figuratively speaking, in case anybody wants to twist that on me. Because you need to be obedient. If God says, I want you to bless this person, it may just be going sitting with them, just talking with them. You need to do it. Take them some food. Take them a meal. You know, I think that we have a widower right next door. And I know several of the neighbors take him food. He's 85. Gets out there and does what he can. But he doesn't have anybody cook for him anymore. And so she'll make him up some cookies or a cake or a pie or something from time to time. And we took him some brisket last week. And just because it was what I wanted to do. Because I can't say I love you unless I'm willing to start proving it. And I like talking to him. And in all of that, he gets to see the love of God, because I don't believe he knows Christ. So sometimes the way to a man's salvation is through his belly. Galatians chapter 6, verses 7 through 9. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that will he also reap. Abraham sowed obedience. He reaped God's blessing. Noah sowed obedience. He reaped God's blessings. Hannah sowed obedience. She reaped God's blessings. You see, the promises that God has made, they continue on. It will be well with you. Now, why does it take so long? Remember, I said seed time and harvest. We're about to enter harvest season, right? Won't be long. I think I already heard that there's some farms down in Delaware County already harvesting. Okay. Around here, we probably got a couple more weeks, and then it's just going to be combines everywhere. They're going to be harvesting what they planted. But they had to get out in the spring and plant the seed. They had to do what needed to be done. You're sitting around saying, well, I got no harvest. Have you done anything? Have you been obedient to God? Well, I don't dare do that in these times. I'm going to tell you right now, God is telling us, don't play it safe. Well, I think I need to hold, I'm going to hit the money thing because that's where everybody hit. That's where everybody lives. I don't care who you are. Well, you know, I can't do that. I don't know what tomorrow's going to hold. Okay, anybody ever heard of Robert Kiyosaki? Besides me, a few of you. Yeah. Rich Dad, Poor Dad. He's a billionaire now. I forget how the deal. His real dad was a poor dad, and his stepfather was a businessman. And when I read the book, he was only a millionaire. Now he's a billionaire. And he's holding up money. He said, this is fake. He said, they'll print more tomorrow. And it's only worth what they say it's worth. He's into real estate and he buys gold and silver and such. Which, by the way, is why Trump won't get involved with cryptocurrency. It's not real. I've got $10 million in cryptocurrency. No, you don't. Somebody suckered you into buying something and they just keep multiplying it, making you think that you got something. Where's it at? What is there to exchange? And the numbers transfer in my bank account. Okay, that's interesting. So as quick as they can go in, they can come back out, right? Because it's not real. But people are living today trying to think, well, you know, next month. It wasn't too long ago we had gold in this country. We used silver. They were more valuable than this piece of paper. And any time that we get in trouble, our government decides we need to print more money. So we're not listening to God. There are going to be people who are going to need food. They're going to need clothes. They're going to need shelter. They're going to need some gas to get to work. Lazy bum, go get a job. Well, I got a job, but I'm going to lose it tomorrow because I don't have any gas. Well, God told me to give you $20, but I can see you're a lazy bum. It ain't your business. It ain't your business what that person spent. If God told you to give it, you had better give it there, greedy one. Because I'm not sure you're going to get an Ebenezer Scrooge revelation. You might get the revelation of the rich man and Lazarus. It's too late. God didn't forget us. There's time for the work we did to come to harvest. And God knows when that time is. That's why you need to be continually obeying God. It doesn't matter if he said, I want you to put gas in their car. I want you to buy them some groceries. Well, they don't need it. That's not what God said. You know what? I want you to just go sit with this person. Oh, Lord, I don't have time for that. I just don't have time. I'm so busy, 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 busy. That's a problem. We're all too busy. The days are getting shorter if you have really not noticed. I always, people heard say, well, once you get out of high school, man, the days just go get shorter and shorter. I'm going to tell you right now, they've gotten shorter. They go by so stinking quick now, it amazes me. But the Bible says that unless the days had been shortened, even the righteous might have been deceived. God shortened the days. Time is going by faster. And it's for our benefit. God is not mocked. We will reap a harvest. For he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption, but he who sows of the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. And let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. There's a season for us to reap. Doesn't mean you can't sow in the harvest season as well. Because here's a great thing about this harvest season. They're getting ready to take off beans, and some of those farmers in those bean fields are going to turn around and put wheat so that there's a harvest next July. You see, that's how it works. It's a continual cycle. Your life is no different. A covenant that you have with God is obedience with your life. I just don't want to obey. Most of us don't want to obey because it costs us something. It's a little uncomfortable. Ecclesiastes chapter 3. To everything there is a season, a time for every purpose under heaven. A time to be born and a time to die. A time to plant and a time to pluck what is planted. You want to know why you don't have a harvest? Because you're not sowing seed. Anybody in here who has ever planted a seed knows you're going to get a harvest if it's a good seed. It will come up. You will reap of its harvest. But if you don't plant the seed, don't complain. See, God told us to start this church. Not my plans. Kind of restricts me a little bit. Well, I don't know what are you talking about. I have to live in Ohio. It gets cold in Ohio. I grew accustomed to those South Pacific beaches, particularly those closer to the equator. Okinawa still got cold. But you know what? God has blessed me. Milwaukee makes a nice battery powered heated coat. And I now have one. They make some great stuff to stay warm. Oh, let's be honest. The winters have actually been kind of mild. I mean, I do not remember having this many brown winters. Yeah, something's happening. Oh, wait a minute. The Earth's been doing this for a long time, hasn't it? Our sheer obedience, doing what God said. If God told Ms. Monica to sit over here, and she said, but Lord, I sit over here, I'm comfortable. And the ductwork falls, and she's like, God, why? Why did the ductwork fall and hit me? Because I told you to sit there. It's not going to fall, Monica. You see what I'm saying? God, why did you let this happen? I didn't tell you to do that. You did that. God, why did I wreck my car? I told you to stay home, you ding dong. It's blizzard out. But I had to go. No, you don't. There's a time and a season for everything we do in our life. That's why it seems like God suddenly remembered me. Oh, thank you, Lord, for remembering me finally. God never forgot you. It takes the time. Abraham did not walk in the 100% fullness of his covenant. He only got to see a little tiny bit of his children. Out of one. Who then had two. We're on a roll now. I'm 100 years old. And I got one kid. Woohoo. I'm going to die at 175. Isaac, you need to get to cranking them out. Going to take these two a little while because they're fighting. See, what we don't realize is Abraham got to meet Isaac's children. And Isaac got to meet Jacob and Esau's children. And I believe Abraham got to meet a few of them as well. We don't know that. You have to actually sit down and do timelines and see and say, oh, they were still alive. Methuselah was still alive just before Noah went into the ark. Otherwise, he'd still been kicking. 969 years old. Still kicking. God's a dude, you got to come home. You really don't want to be in the flood. In Genesis chapter 40 and verse 14. But remember, this is Joseph speaking to the chief butler. Remember that he was in prison, wrongfully imprisoned. And a baker and a butler came to him. They both had dreams. And he told the baker, he said, dude, they're going to take your head off. He's like, here, a couple of days. They're going to restore you. So, but remember me when it is well with you. And please show kindness to me. Make mention of me to Pharaoh. And get me out of this house. Yet the chief butler did not remember Joseph. But forgot him. Joseph did not need the chief butler to remember him. He needed God. People will forget you. People that you thought you meant the world to. But let's be honest. This dude just was got out of prison by with his neck still attached like that. And the first thing he's going to go up to do is say, "Hey, yo, Pharaoh, get this, man. This dude told me my dream, and he interpreted it. Here I am with you. Guess what? To the gallows with you." But 2 years later, God gave Pharaoh a dream, and nobody could interpret it. And while he's standing there, and he's like, "Almighty King, when I was in prison, when you were ticked off at, remember me? Remember you were mad at me? And you put me in prison, and me and the baker, we both had dreams. And you killed the baker, and you restored me. And this man, Joseph, told me that was what was going to happen 2 years ago." They called for Joseph, gave him a bath, shave, haircut, new clothes, sent him before Pharaoh. And upon interpretation of his dream, Joseph went from a prisoner to the second in command of the entire country. And they were told, "You do whatever he says." Now, it took that long, folks, because the drought was going to happen on this day. Pharaoh was going to have the dream on this day. Joseph getting out of prison the next day wouldn't have done good, because you know how we are when we're just let go to our own doings. We get into stuff we're not supposed to be. "Oh, I can't go over there right now. I can't be there." But that was the moment that changed Joseph's life. Okay, so he'd got released. He had wandered around Egypt. Maybe he went back home, got beat up again. Because he didn't know what God had. He didn't know that he was a part of God's ultimate plan for his entire family, for that entire part of the world. That without him, his family would have starved. But he had humility on his side. Because let's be honest with you, when he was telling his brothers about his dreams, you know, if you're the older brother, as I am, you know, my little brother came up and said, "You know, I had this dream that you were bowing down to me," I'd punch him. "No, you're bowing down to me now." But you see, you need to think about how the other brothers were thinking. "Seriously, you little runt? We're going to bow down to you?" And then he had the audacity to tell his mommy and daddy, "And you bow down to me." He had to be thinking, he's off his ever-loving rocker. This boy has a heat stroke. And yet, full circle, God allowed him to tell it. Because one, God knew that his brothers would rise up. They would sell him into slavery, where he would go to be in a prison, get falsely accused. Understand what it's like to be falsely accused. Develop humility because of that. Go to prison. And in a prison, you need to understand, he wasn't treated like every other little prisoner. He was in charge. He actually probably had a bed, got the swill before it got flies and stuff. Got clean water, maybe. But to go from where he was at to the throne, it was all God the whole time. Why? Because of a vow God made with his great-grandfather, Abraham. Because of a vow he made with Abraham and with Isaac and with Jacob. God remembered them. Man will forget us. When we're gone, men will forget who we were. Yeah, we know of notorious people. They go, they're gone. Billy the Kid, Jesse James. And as I've come to find out, most of what we've learned about them was wrong to begin with. Everything you do in the kingdom of God will reap a harvest. If you're cleaning the toilets, you'll reap a harvest. One of the things that I think I even shared about Mayan Lefevre was, you know, he was a rock and roller in the early 70s. He would have actually been the father of Christian rock and roll had Larry Norman not cut an album in 1969. It took Mylon until 1970. And he was singing about Jesus. But things got to him. The stress got to him. And he started taking some things to help him relax. And then he OD'd on heroin. And God saved him from that. And he turned his heart over to God, got clean, went to his church, started going to Bible study in Georgia, or Bible school. He served in his church. He cleaned the toilets. Guy that has albums, rock and roller, his family's in music. Wrote a song for Elvis Presley, the king of rock and roll. Sang with people like George Harrison and a few other big names. As a matter of fact, they played on some of his albums. He had connections. Nobody else did, but he was humbled. And he took that humility. And then he started writing. The gospel ship, yep. So I know that the day he closed his eyes, his race was run. But God met him every step of the way. He even had a heart attack on the tour bus with White Art. That's actually why he left music. He couldn't take it anymore. But everything that man did was a seed. His son-in-law is Peter Furler from Newsboys. It all started with him getting saved. God made him a promise. His children serve the Lord. His grandchildren serve the Lord. They said it was over 250,000 youth he led to the Lord. I'm pretty sure God remembered him. The thief on the cross, "Remember me, Lord, when you come into your kingdom," Jesus says, "Surely today I tell you, you will be with me in paradise." Well, it's not heaven. We're still under the old covenant, though he didn't go to the place that God was preparing because Jesus hadn't prepared it yet. Notice he didn't address the other thief at all. He just looked at the other thief. He's still a thief. He's convicted. He's guilty. He did call him Lord. And that's what I take away from that. In his heart, he had a change. But the Holy Spirit spoke up to me today and said, "Why? Why him and not the other one? They were both guilty of thievery." So I ask questions. You know, it's okay to ask God questions. Not because you're doubting his ways. Because you want to know. And I said, "Lord, why?" I said, "Was he stealing to feed his family? They released Barabbas, a murderer, not somebody that stole a chicken, a murderer, and very possibly a zealot, which means he murdered a Roman citizen. They released him. Rome had no problem releasing him. The people had no problem, but the guy that stole the chicken, he's done." But he had enough sense to know he was wrong. So honestly, it tells me that because of his heart, his mind, he was not corrupt like the other thief who just stole because of greed. He was stealing because he needed to feed somebody. He was taking care of somebody. I don't know, it's a theory. It's not gospel. It's not in there. It's my theory. So I've told you, it's my theory. But what is not my theory is every deed, every word is a seed. And Jesus has promised it will come to pass. And you will be remembered. When you do the things God has told you to do, he will remember at the right time. How many times have we cut off the harvest because it just ain't enough time? It took 2 years after the butler got his job back. 2 years. And we get upset because I sowed a seed today. I sowed a seed. I'm expecting a harvest this week. Not likely going to happen. By the way, and if you know, you do something and then somebody else comes and does something for you, I want to word this right. If somebody does something for you and you're looking at it and say, well, I sowed a seed for them, to them, so I'm expecting the seed from them. Your harvest never comes from the ground you plant in. Let's say, God tells me to do something for Monica. Praise God. Well, Monica's going to, whoo. Nope, because God's going to tell to do something for Maggie. And out of the blue, God's going to call Joe Schmuckatelli over here to come and do something for me. Joe Schmuckatelli gets blamed for lots of things in the Marine Corps. I can tell you right now, he signed a lot of work orders in 1992. Just saying. Got me a medal out of it. No, it didn't get me the medal. I should have got the medal. That was some creative work, I'm telling you. No, it was... Unfortunately, it was what I had to do. But you see, don't look and say, well, that's where my harvest is coming from. Woo, glory. God's going to send a millionaire my way. Not always. Sometimes he sends somebody that ain't got two nickels to rub together because he wants them to trust him. You know, I shared about one time, you know, we were running a little tight when I first started my business. It's like, we're getting a little tight here. And I heard of a family in the church that needed some groceries. I said, well, we got some extra. It's always good to have some extra groceries, right? We got some extra, so we took some groceries, put it in the bag, and we even had some extra meat and stuff. And, you know, the green stuff, though, was a little harder to come by. I'm like, ooh, I got extra $50. And God said, put that in the bag. I'm giving them groceries. God said, put the money in the bag. Now, I'm going to tell you word for word what God said. You put that in the bag and he will come to church. I put that in the bag and the very next Sunday he was in church with his wife. True story. Now, whatever happens with his life is not on my head. I was obedient to God. And by the way, if that's all the glory I ever get, so you could go out and show and do what you're supposed to do, then good. Because I'm not about getting glory. To this day, I'd still rather be in the back. Although last week reminded me of how much I forgot about the soundboard. So Jason, you know, I'll get sick no more. He has no problem with that either. But ladies and gentlemen, you have to be obedient to God. Today, God rarely tells you to up and leave your family and go to some place you've never heard of. Most of the time, he's telling you, I need you to go here. I don't know why you want me here. You'll know when you get there. I've done that a few times. There's been people God told me to pick up. And again, you better be listening to the Holy Spirit about picking up hitchhikers. I passed a guy. Nah, I ain't got time to mess with him today. Got to Mansfield, turned around, came back, and he was in Williamsport. I knew he got out of jail because I just passed him about a mile from the jail. Anybody walking on 42 in that general area typically just got out of jail and can't get a ride. caught up to him there in Williamsport, saw him, and the Holy Spirit said, you know I told you to pick him up, right? Yes, I know. So I got to Williamsport, turned around, came back. I said, hey, you need a ride somewhere? And he says, yeah, I'm going to Mansfield. Obedience. You know, because 350s, they get a lot, they get really good gas mileage, you know, like 10, if I'm lucky. But I'm just telling you, folks. And I got to tell him about Jesus. I got to encourage him. He's not going to argue with me. I'm the one at the steering wheel. Tell them about Jesus. What are they going to do? Take away your birthday? Shave your head, send you to boot camp? Been there, got the bozo button to prove it. Nothing can, no. If God told you to do it, God has a reason. Amen? So, God's not, he's not, so we're not saying, do you remember me? Oh, Lord, I know you remember me. Anything comes about in my life, he remembers me, I know. Obedience. He doesn't want you sacrificing. Do you know that? He wants you just to obey. See, I had to sacrifice that gas because I disobeyed. I had to go all the way back up to Mansfield. Let's stand. With all the things that are going on, God's not going to forget we're here. He knows you're here. He knows what you need. He knows why you need it. If God blesses you with something, don't say, well, I don't need that. I got 10 of them. Say, God, who am I supposed to be blessing? But that's not what we do, is it? I got a collection of 10 motorcycles. How many can you ride, gentlemen, ladies? One. I can understand having a couple. You know, you got your nice cruiser, you got your stretch. Well, they can have whatever. Yeah, they can have whatever they want. That's great. But if God's telling you to give them away, don't keep saying, well, he just keeps giving them to me, so I just keep collecting them. Because he wants you to bless somebody else. I got 10 trucks. I don't know what to do with them all. Well, there's apparently 9 people who needs a truck. Start asking him. But we don't want to hear that. Because that's not the popular message today. God wants to bless you. He does. He wants to bless you above and beyond what Abraham did. But you need to understand, Abraham had a tough row to hoe. He had to leave his father. In other words, he had to leave everything he knew behind. He stepped out. God bless him. By the way, the very cities that were being destroyed, and God said, hey, what about, don't forget Abraham here. Remember Abraham. Remember the Sodom and Gomorrah. That's not the first time they came into Abraham's life. Was it the king of Sodom or was it Gomorrah? I think it was king of Sodom. Came to Abraham to hire him as a mercenary. What's that tell you about Abraham? Oh, by the way, I do want to throw this in here. I swear you won't. This is my third closing. In their life, Abraham and Lot got so big, they had to split. Abraham had the covenant. It was all his. But he took Lot up to a mountain. He said, I want you to look around. From this point on, one of us goes that way and the other one goes this way. Choose. You get to choose. I will let you choose. He chose. He sat up there and looked around. And he did what every last one of us did. That's better ground. It's green. Look at the water flowing through it. Look at how prosperous it is. Abraham said, you take yours and you go that way. Understand, Lot left with a lot more than five people in his fold. But yet only three of them actually made it out. It wasn't such a blessing. If you've ever seen the area where Sodom and Gomorrah and those five cities was at, it's rock. Hard to believe it was ever fertile, that it grew grass. God devastated it. But over here, they have rolling hills. They have great pasture lands. Not many trees, but they're getting there. Don't get greedy with somebody else's blessing. Because I'll be honest with you, the fact that they came to Abraham to ask for his help tells me they respected Abraham. They didn't care about Lot. Because Lot didn't have the covenant. It was Abraham. And had Abraham been over top of that area, don't think Sodom and Gomorrah would have had to been destroyed. Just a thought to think about. But God will bless you as you're obedient. And you're being blessed today not for the things you did yesterday, but the things you did last year. So don't stop. Keep sowing that seed. And when it comes to when you go and the Lord says, oh, well, covenant's done. No, because if he made you a promise, he made it to your generations, just like he did Abraham, just like he did Isaac and Jacob. It'll go down, but it's all about obedience. All right, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you. Lord, first off, that you remember us. Father, the things we have done. We are only now righteous because of what Christ Jesus did. And there's a book of remembrance written for us. Our name's in that book if we've accepted you. Lord, I pray right now for anybody. As a matter of fact, while every head is bowed, I want to ask if somebody in here does not know Jesus as Savior, and you want to, just slip your hand up real quick and I'll lead you in a prayer. Okay, I don't take long on these, so. All right. So, Father, I pray for everybody here. As we step out and we obey you, Lord God, that your covenant is with us. Your promises are with us. Lord, as we do as you say, as we follow where you lead, Lord, may we not be boneheaded goats, but sheep that will follow their shepherd. Sheep that need their shepherd for protection. For everything. Lord, I thank you that you're moving in our lives. Father, that you're opening up the windows of heaven. Not, Father, blessings come in more than just monetary. Father, they come with joy. They come with peace. They come with understanding. Lord, all these things. Money means nothing without that. So, Father, help us all to attain those things. Lord, I thank you for these people. I bless them now, Lord God, as they go forth this week. Lead them. Guide them, just as you did Abraham. Father, in every step Abraham took, you blessed him because he was being obedient to you. In Jesus' name, amen.